shadow of blackbirds, as many as in a pie. The shadow of blackbirds, as many as baked in a pie. Pass over your burnt head as you prepare to die.
That's music by John Doe with a song called There's a Black Horse, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF in Tampa and streaming live via, may I say via, WMNF.org. My name's Duncan Strauss, and as you may know, this is our third time on WMNF with Talking Animals, a program I launched in California a few years ago that primarily seeks to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your phone calls, from assorted other sources, who are also quite interested in celebrating animals through music, comedy, and other means. We always aim for a spirited balance of those elements, as you can readily glean. If you care to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. Indeed, the website offers archives of all our past shows, including our initial two programs on WMNF, featuring singer-songwriter-activist Nellie Mackay and Dr. Temple Grandin, an internationally renowned expert on both animals and autism. Today's edition very much extends the tradition of the show, most notably the conversation we'll have momentarily with our guest, Captain Paul Watson, who was a co-founder of Greenpeace, went on to found the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, and whose lifelong activism as a defender of all creatures of the sea has been recognized globally. For instance, in 2000, Time magazine named him one of the environmental heroes of the 20th century. We'll find out much more about him, and our conversation will likely focus on the annual seal slaughter in his native Canada and the very related issue of the boycott of Canadian seafood when Paul Watson joins us in a moment here on Talking Animals. We'll also welcome your questions and comments for him. You can call us at 813-239-9663 or email dj@wmnf.org. First, let me take a quick moment to let you know about a website that makes it ultra easy to do your good deed for the day. It's the Animal Rescue Site. The address is just that, www.theanimalrescuesite.com. And once you arrive there, you simply click on Fund Food for Animals. And through an arrangement with sponsors of the site, this releases money to feed and or treat abused or abandoned animals at various facilities. You can and should, in fact, visit and click every day. There's no catch. That's theanimalrescuesite.com. Okay, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. We selected this ocean-related bit as a nod to today's guest, Paul Watson. This is Eddie Izzard with a snippet of a piece called Talk to the Animals on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
But, you know, whales, they're intelligent. They do whale song. We don't know what it means, but I think that whales are traveling at 78. They're traveling at 78 speed, and if we take them up to 45 speed, we'll find they're actually going, I love you, baby. I love you, all right, I love you, baby. Well, then I love you, baby. Yeah, they're DJs, you see. DJs of the sea. Because sound travels well in water, and they need a big PA to be a DJ, but they've got their whole bodies. Yeah, it works, doesn't it? This next song is going out to all the goldfish down by the Azores. I love you, baby. So they're intelligent,
yes, they are intelligent, and so is he. That was Eddie Izzard in today's Comedy Corner on WMNF with a slice of a bit, much longer bit, called Talk to the Animals, taken from his album Circle. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF. Station website is WMNF.org. The show website is TalkingAnimals.net, where all our past programs are archived. There are pieces written about us, pieces we've written. and more, including a place to sign up for our email list. We can keep you posted on forthcoming guests and all kinds of other updates. It's talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time now to welcome today's guest, Captain Paul Watson. So let me quickly outline a few important details about him. As I touched on a few moments ago, Paul was a co-founder of Greenpeace, left that organization many years ago, and founded the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, and whose lifelong activism has involved traveling all over the world, typically on a ship he's captained, defending all creatures of the sea. Indeed, he just returned from such an expedition a few days ago. He's also the author of multiple books and articles, including a recent op-ed piece in the National Post of Canada entitled Confessions of a Career Criminal, noting that he's not only vehemently opposed for decades the annual seal hunt in his native Canada, but during that period has been arrested numerous times for his various actions to protect the baby seals from that yearly slaughter. With the seal hunt set to gear up again next month, we'll no doubt focus our conversation on that topic and the attendant issue of this boycott of Canadian seafood. With a quick reminder that we invite you to join that conversation by calling 813-239-9663. Let's welcome Captain Paul Watson to Talking Animals. Okay, Paul, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, I'm so sorry. Hopefully we got you, and hopefully we'll keep you. So what I was saying before, when I think we still had a bit of a rough connection, is that maybe just to give a brief sort of backdrop for the conversation that I otherwise was hoping to focus on the seal hunt and the Canadian seafood boycott, maybe you could just take a moment or two and just give some of our listeners who may not be as familiar with your work just sort of the nickel tour of your background, some things you did, you know, younger and the formation of Greenpeace, and then we'll get caught up on the go right to the seal hunt.
Well, I established the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society back in 1977. I had left Greenpeace, which I was a co-founder of, back in 1972. But I wanted to start an organization that wasn't a protest organization, but rather an interventionist group, and that's what we've been doing ever since. So what Sea Shepherd does is specialize in marine wildlife, and what we do is uphold international conservation laws, treaties, and regulations. So we don't protest, we actually police.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been quite successful in doing that over the years. We're now in actual partnerships with, like, for instance, the Galapagos National Park in Ecuador, where we provide a full-time patrol boat. We're about to go into a partnership with the government of Mozambique to patrol against illegal fishing off their coast. And we've been working with similar governments in Brazil and Colombia and in Senegal.
Wow.
And so what we're trying to do here is just simply intervene. So what we do is we confiscate long lines and drift nets, which are being set illegally. We oppose illegal whaling and sealing, and we're controversial because we do attack property. But what people have to remember is the property that we attack is being used for illegal activities. So there's no difference between the people we oppose and bank robbers, drug smugglers, or ivory smugglers. It's all the same thing. But there seems to be this sympathy for people's property, even when it's being used illegally. So we get attacked, especially from the right, by people who say that we're, you know, eco-terrorists, whatever that is. You know, the only eco-terrorists I know are Exxon and Union Carbine.
Right. Exactly.
But anyway, the fact is that in all our years since 1977, we've never injured anybody, and we've never been convicted of a crime.
Yeah. And in fact, there's, I alluded to it briefly in the introduction, there's a recent piece you did called Confessions of a Career Criminal that sort of details at least some of your police blotter, as it were. But again, it sounds like still no convictions. So let's, with all the amazing things you've done all over the globe, really one of the more kind of longstanding and powerful storylines of the Paul Watson saga is your dogged efforts to protect seals and call international attention to the seal slaughter in your native Canada. So in the interest of sort of best serving the range of folks listening today, including those who may be, you know, somewhat unfamiliar with the topic, let's just start at the remedial level. What is the seal hunt? When did it start, and why did it start?
Well, the slaughter of seals on the east coast of Canada has been going on for hundreds of years, but in the last few years, it's been escalating. And one of the reasons for this is because of the incompetence of the Canadian Department of Fisheries and Oceans, the commercial fisheries have collapsed. You know, it was mismanagement. It was the greed on the part of the industry. And they're looking for a convenient scapegoat, and the scapegoat that they're finding is at best is the harp seal, which is ironic because when you lower harp seal populations, you actually cause more harm to the fish because the biggest predator of codfish, for example, outside of humans, are other fish, the fish which the seals prey upon.
Mm-hmm.
So when you lower harp seal populations, you increase those predatory fish populations, causing an even further problem. The best way to explain that is back in 1537 when Jacques Cartier first landed on the east coast of Canada, there were 45 million seals, and now with a population of under 2 million, how can they blame the seals? Because when Cartier landed, the cod were incredibly abundant, and now they've been reduced to less than 1% of their original number.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about overfishing. Yikes. Well, so despite these kind of then specious arguments, how is there still support for this? Because I think it's long been true that a huge percentage of the Canadian population actually opposes the seal hunts.
Well, the Canadian government's put an incredible amount of money into subsidizing this and clumping it up, and they're also using arguments. For instance, they say anybody who attacks the seal hunt is racist because they're anti-Native, except the funny part about it is there's not a single Native person employed in it. In fact, the seal hunt actually threatens the traditional hunt up in the far north. There are no Native people in Newfoundland because not only have they wiped out quite a few species, they wiped out the entire Aboriginal population. The last one died in 1914. So that's what they're trying to put through their media, public relations-wise. They're saying, well, you know, this is anti-Native, and they like to present an image of an Inuit person with waiting over a seal blowhole in order to feed his family, which
sure.
I think could be further.
But there's no such actual case like that.
No. When you go out there, it's a slaughterhouse. It's a nursery. These guys walk through. The baby seals cannot defend themselves. They can't swim. So I don't know why they call it a hunt. They just go around bashing their heads in with these hack-a-picks, these vicious clubs with spikes on the end of them. And the whole area is littered with thousands upon thousands of skinned bodies. Bodies are just left on the ice, and they pull the pelts off. The only products that are being used right now is they're manufacturing this omega-3 acid, fatty acid, which is selling in places like Costco, for instance, is selling it in different places as some sort of health benefit. I mean, I can't believe people are actually buying baby seal health oil tablets.
Well,
and the other thing, of course, is the high mercury content, which is involved in this, but people just seem to not be paying too much attention on that.
But the primary focus of the hunt, I guess, in theory, is for the pelts, right? And then also, isn't there, I don't know how long-standing this is, but isn't there also supposedly quite a black market, at least, for the penis bone of these seals?
Well, actually, Canada spent a lot of effort going to China trying to convince them that seal penises are good as an aphrodisiac, and so Canada has become this purveyor of sex potions.
Mm.
There's no scientific validity for it, but
sure.
A seal penis sells for about $150 in China right now. But they've gutted the market. I mean, they've gotten so many seal penises that nobody wants them anymore. There's really no market for the fur. I mean, there's a million pelts in a warehouse in Norway, which they can't sell. There is some market, but certainly not to justify the numbers. So really it's a subsidized, glorified welfare hunt in order
yeah.
to keep the fishermen on the east coast of Canada happy because they've destroyed the fisheries. And that's really all it is. But the fact is that seals are certainly in trouble, not only from this, but global warming. For the first time ever, there's no ice in the Gulf of St. Lawrence, and we're really concerned that these baby seals will be born in the water and will drown immediately because the seals cannot come on land. They have to have the ice, and if the ice disappears, it's going to be a serious problem.
Yeah, isn't this, in fact, the warmest January in some time, maybe even on record? And so there are all those related concerns.
Well, not only is it the warmest January, it's the first time on record that nobody's seen any ice across the Gulf of St. Lawrence.
Oh, my goodness.
It's very ominous.
Wow.
So it sort of puts our plans up in the air here because, you know, it's hard to go out and confront sealers that aren't going to be there because, you know, it doesn't really matter to them if they're there or not. They still get paid by the government.
Sure. This is Talking Animals on WMNF, and we're speaking with veteran activist Paul Watson about the annual seal hunt in Canada. If you'd like to ask a question or offer a comment, please call us at 813-239-9663. And, in fact, we do have a call. Paul, you want to take a call?
Certainly.
Hi, you're on the air on WMNF with Paul Watson.
Yes, does Captain Watson have time to take a question?
Yes, please.
Thank
Go
you.
Ahead.
Hi, Captain Watson. I really admire what you're doing. I just wanted to ask you, I read recently, I'm a Canadian, and I read recently that Newfoundland's economy was so much stronger than the rest of Canada. Will that have any effect, you think, or can it, on what they're doing with the seal hunt?
Yeah, I'm actually not aware of that. Other than the possibility of oil exploration off of the Newfoundland coast, they pretty much, diminish their natural resources to the point where, you know, tens of thousands of people are leaving Newfoundland, most to go to work in Alberta in the oil fields.
Well, I thought that was the case before. This is why I was so surprised to see that in one of the newspapers recently. So I was wondering if you were aware of that. So maybe it's not completely accurate. My computer's acting up. Did you mention about the Canadian the change in the government? Do you expect any relief at all or any help?
Well,
no, I wouldn't think so, but I just thought I'd ask you anyway.
Well, the Liberal government of Canada was defeated, which, in fact, Liberal in Canada means
right.
conservative, and conservative
right.
means ultra-conservative, so there's really was no Liberal government. I don't see much of a change with the new Harper government.
Okay, well, thanks for taking my call. I am writing, though. I write this every, I write them a couple of times a year, so I'll continue to do that. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. But the one thing that will have the most impact is the Canadian boycott, or the boycott on Canadian fish products.
Yeah, let's really get into that, because that's something that I think even those of us who are really, you know, quite concerned and have been for many years about this may not grasp all the sort of details and so maybe just you could go over the sort of mechanics of what this is intended to do and how we can help.
Well, what we're trying to do is cost the Canadian fishing industry a significant amount in lost revenue by boycotting Canadian fish. Of course, this is a little different for vegan and vegetarians like us.
Sure.
But the thing is, we're promoting it and getting restaurants to sign on board, food market chains to sign on board, and it's already cost the Canadian government tens of millions of dollars, and so this is something that they're actually paying attention to, because really it's the only thing they do pay attention to is profit and loss, and when their losses get to a certain point, they start paying attention. But so this is something different groups like HSUS and PETA, other groups are promoting, and it's having an impact.
And in fact, there is actually a relevant online petition on our website, talkinganimals.net, that's aimed directly at the Darden Group, which Red Lobster really seems to be the focus of this, although there's obviously many other companies that are targeted. Why, Paul, I mean, is Red Lobster kind of the biggest purchaser of Canadian seafood, or just the highest profile, or a bit of both? Or?
Well, Red Lobster is one of the biggest purchasers, but it's also one of the highest profile seafood chains.
It's yeah.
good to target them. And,
sure.
And, you know, we've printed out thousands of shirts called Dead Lobster shirts, you know, showing a lobster standing over a seal with a hackapick, and we're trying to make that connection.
Sure.
Of course, you know, I'd like to take Red Lobster on about lobsters, too.
Right, yeah, there's any number of things you need to speak with them about, yes. But, well, let me also tell people that, that along these lines, I mean, other sort of key restaurant chains and operations that are involved with this, that they may or may not be making the connection with: Joe's Crab Shack, Long John Silver's, and McCormick & Schmick, Outback Steakhouse, which is actually based right here in Tampa, and Walmart. And there's any number of websites you can go to find out more about both the annual seal hunt, but also the Canadian seafood boycott, including, of course, starting with Paul's organization, SeaShepherd.org, and HarpSeals.org, SealHunt.ca, and I think a relatively newer one, boycottcanadianseafood.net. So, Paul, how are these expeditions that you go on and trying to, you know, protect the seals, and I think you just came back from quite a lengthy journey, how are those funded?
Well, it's very difficult for us because we're a small organization, even though we've been around since 1977. And the reason that we're a small organization is that we don't do, like, direct mail campaigns and a lot of self-promotion. And also, our campaigns are so expensive because we fund ships to go out and intervene against whaling, sealing, and illegal fishing. In fact, we just came back from Antarctica. Our ship just came into South Africa 2 weeks ago after a 50-day, 8,000-mile chase of the Japanese whaling fleet, where we were able to intervene and stop them for 15 days. But we didn't have the speed to catch up with them, but we were able to impact their quota. But we also found that they're afraid of us, so we intend to come back at the end of the year with a faster vessel, and if we can keep up with them, I think we can shut them down.
Well, these are all just such admirable you know, campaigns and efforts on your behalf. And I just want to let listeners know again that this is Paul Watson from the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. The website to find out more about all their efforts, including the efforts towards the seal slaughter, annual seal slaughter in Canada, is seashepherd.org. Paul, thank you very much for your time. I'm sorry about some of our technical snags initially, but I'm so happy we did get a chance to chat on the air about some of these things.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you. All right. My thanks again to Paul Watson. One last time, his organization is the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. His website is seashepherd.org, and other pertinent websites include harpseals.org, sealhunt.ca, and boycottcanadianseafood.net. I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on WMNF. The show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email list, listen to our archive shows, make suggestions for future guests or topics, check out written pieces, photos, and more. That's talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune, pretty much like any version of a name that tune you'd care to mention. Except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related. There'll be a prize, like a CD by Eddie Izzard, the comic feature in today's Comedy Corner, or a pair of tickets to Amy Mann, February 18th at the Tampa Theater, to the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies the song playing now. It's Name That Animal Tune on WMNF. Hi, you're on WMNF. Can you name that animal, too? I'm sorry?
Is the alley cat?
That's right. You happen to know the band? You don't have to. You've already won the prize. But
awesome.
Okay, can you just hold on? We'll come back and take your information as soon as we get off the air here.
Okay,
just
thank you.
Just hold on. Thanks. Okay, one other quick thing I'd like to mention, too, that's coming up. I want to give you a heads up. Kind of cool, coming up in May here in Florida. Pet Detective Kat Albrecht, who was a past guest on Talking Animals, has formed Pet Hunters International, the first ever detective academy that trains and certifies pet detectives and search dogs to track lost pets. Kat will be coming to Orlando to teach a four-day pet detective certification course May 5th through 8th. For more information, visit www.pethunters.com. We've just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals, so I want to thank Rob Laura and others at WMNF for the opportunity to present Talking Animals today, and now Darn Near Monthly here on WMNF. I hope you'll join me next time. It should be April 12th. And meanwhile, please visit our website, talkinganimals.net, if for no other reason, to send us an email and give us some thoughts and suggestions about shows, topics, guests, etc. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Stay tuned for NPR News, followed by Democracy Now! We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal song. This one's called Elephants from Antibalas Afrobeat Orchestra. Very long track, too long to hear all of it today. Too long to hear all of it probably any day on a half-hour show. But a wonderful piece for all kinds of reasons, not least the way it truly evokes the sound of an elephant ambling along the tundra. And if that sounds like I've been in the early morning hooch, just listen, will ya? This is how elephants walk. Walking sound, not the way in the circus or the zoo, but in the wild. So it's Annie Ballas with Elephants on 88.5 FM, WMNF in Tampa. We'll catch you next time on Talking Animals.